frozen tanks. Oh, my stars.
Like you say that you've said that numerous times to me. Numerous.
About fantasy, that's why I'm.
And 40K.
Well, I traded an army that no one was interested in for a 40K army. It's kind of.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to argue that fact. You were playing Tomb Kings.
Yes. So that was like just a bad idea on all counts. It was a good idea to trade them for a 40K army.
You know what? I was at the bunker today and I saw a guy playing a really, really nicely painted Tomb Kings army.
Yeah. I'm sure he was losing.
I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention to that. He was playing Skaven, so more than likely he was losing.
Oh, he was losing.
Yeah, and I saw the Delanois there playing.
Was his army in full Delanois gray and Bendis silver?
It was in the Delanois gray and Bendis. Actually, I don't see any Bendis silver. It was a ogre army. Oh no, there was one Bendis silver model. Nice. It was the gut mage or whatever they're called.
The butcher.
The butcher. Thank you.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get this started right away. So, welcome to Game Classy.
Welcome to Game Classy.
This is the 40K Aftermath podcast.
The Aftermath.
So anyway,
you guys didn't talk enough about the rules.
So anyway, that's kind of what I wanted to start this episode of, just talking about kind of like our mission statement.
We have a mission statement?
Well, I mean, and like what we're all about.
Ah, I thought it was mostly just talking about dicks.
Well, yeah, aside from that. But anyway, I wanted to talk about an email we got to Game Classy. Actually, this came to Planet Arbitrary as opposed to Game Classy. So at least the guy heard enough to go to the Planet Arbitrary site as opposed to Game Classy site, and he sent an email, and he wanted to say this. They go, okay, so I'm just going to read this off. This is not a slam against this guy, because he obviously felt very strongly enough to write this.
I think it was mostly just because he was not really aware of how Game Classy operates.
Okay, so he wrote, listening to review of 40K 6th Edition. First of all, it wasn't really a review. It was more kind of just our opinions on it.
It was a round table.
It was like a round table, yeah. Work on providing more information and less BS. Well,
we're all about the BS.
We're all about the BS. Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, if you listen to a podcast to get information on how to play the games, you're not going to learn how to play the games unless you're playing the games.
Well, you'd also, if you want just information about the rulebook, you can listen to any of the 40K podcasts.
Yeah, there's thousands of them.
Or any of the blog posts or any of the things that are like, these are all of the rules, pay attention.
About halfway through, just and right now, it. I would say you don't like the new rules. And listening to the podcast, it did sound like that. I mean, Steve actually does like a lot of the new rules.
Yes.
It's easy to talk about the bad things as opposed to the good things.
It's also more fun to talk about the bad things.
It's so much more fun. I've watched about 4 or 5 40K, new 8th edition, 6th edition 40K rules, and I really, really like it. I like how, everything about how smooth it is. I like how it's a lot quicker. I like how there's not a lot of, you know, like, stop, look at the rules.
It's going to be slower at tournament play.
Yeah, but I mean, just like seeing like casual play,
it's very quick.
It was very quick.
Because tournament play, you're going to get the doucher who's like moving all of his guys very, very specifically to keep his models in a very set way in their squad so he can exploit the closest target.
And so but just to add on to that about how we don't, you know, how we go negative. You got to remember, Steve and I are ex-GW employees. Everybody who was at that roundtable discussion, ex-GW employees, we've seen everything and we've read everything having to do with this. We are the hardest critics of probably 40K fantasy, any Games Workshop game produced. We are the harshest critics that you can have. So, like, when we say, oh, it's not too bad, that's huge.
Yes.
Anyway, just to put that out there. There was three things you like and everything else you don't like. You also talked more about other GW games than the subject of the rule book. Well, you know, I put 6th Ed on the title, but I didn't say, this is our big 6th Ed review! We're going to talk about 6th Ed.
Well, there's natural segues into the other games. Like, random charging is something that's new to 40K, but has been in fantasy for a couple years now.
Yeah, and it's in other games as well, you know. I mean, we try not to be so, like, focused on Games Workshop. It's hard to miss the elephant in the room. I mean, we can't have a gaming podcast without talking about 40K. It's physically
impossible. We weren't talking about miniatures games.
Unless we were just talking about RPG. But if we were strictly role-playing, what would we be talking mostly about? Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
You can't.
or if we're playing talking about card
games. I think it's Pathfinder now. We'd be talking about Pathfinder.
Oh, by the way, I got to tell you something. Hold on to that thought. Well, I'll just say it right now. I was at the Renaissance Fair yesterday.
Oh yeah.
The Bristol Renaissance Fair. it was steampunk days.
That's awful.
Which is terrible because it's like steampunk has nothing to do with even the Renaissance.
It's so played.
I know. But the funny thing is, I was in this armory shop. You know, there's a lot of guys selling like swords and everything.
Yeah.
And there was a guy that's actually said this. He goes, "Well, that works for Pathfinder, but I'm talking 3.5. I walked out and I was like, "Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god!" And luckily, Pat was there. Pat B from the Retro Game Review, and I told him that, and he goes, "I get that joke now."
See, he was educated by the class.
He was educated by the game Classy. And so what was I going to say about that? Oh, yeah. You got to talk about the elephant in the room. It's not our primary game. Neither Steve nor I play 40K on a regular basis. I'm going to start putting together a 40K army, and it's going to be part of our next contest that's going to come up after we get our 100 likes on Facebook. Steve already has a 40K army. He's playing Necron, so that army should be put together and painted in the next 15 minutes before the end of this podcast.
No, I'm painting them like Skelebones, so
like
they're going to take a little bit longer than...
Bet you my army's painted before yours.
The Chaos Army?
Airbrush!
I mean, most of my army's just done with colored sprays. Colored sprays are the best thing ever. you cannot beat colored spray. You're using an airbrush. You're doing the exact same thing.
Yes, but mine has subtle hues and, you know, hints.
I just base coat with sprays. I'm not trying to airbrush with spray paint.
Oh, then you're gonna put it up on eBay. This is propane.
You know, I will keep that in mind. If I list any painted things on eBay, I will make sure to put in all caps. Oh, yes, pro-painted.
Yeah, and so that's the thing there. But however, in comparison to this guy who wrote this, I wanted to address that right off the bat. Look, if you're coming back to us, you know, I'm sure a lot of people stumbled onto the podcast because they were looking for stuff about 6th edition. And if you liked what you heard, I'm glad, because that's what we're mainly about. We're just chatting about games in general, and like it might hit the topic on some new stuff. We'll do reviews on occasion, but mostly we're just going to talk about whatever.
And just being classy in general.
Yeah, just being classy in general. We're not going to stick to just 40K and talk about minute rules.
That would be miserable.
Oh my god, I would be so miserable about it. Who wouldn't be miserable about discussing?
And then in our game, I charged with my immortals. I was really looking to try and get a little edge. Do you know the immortals aren't that great hand-to-hand?
Did he use the snapfire rule?
He did. He snapfire, okay. but he was using the guard.
Oh.
So, I mean, he had a lot of shots coming at me.
Rolled those sixes. I mean, those sixes are hard to
get. Yeah, but I mean, then he had to try and wound me, and I had the 3+ save, so I got in there, and, you know, he didn't do any damage in the snapfire. He did a couple wounds, but I saved them all. And then I rolled, you know, hand-to-hand, same thing, you know, just kind of bounced off the immortal.
See, that is how boring all the other podcasts are about that. So we got a lot to talk about today. Especially, I wanted to touch on a couple things that we talked about in the last podcast, especially pro-painted. Wow, did that spark a discussion online? At least in the Warhound Gaming Group, the gaming group Steve and I belong to,
the super secret group.
The super secret group.
I love it because every time it says this is a secret group. I'm like, yeah.
It got a big discussion about pro-painted because some people believe that painting is in the eye of the beholder. Like, what is a pro-paint job?
I disagree with that. I think if you're going to say your stuff is professionally painted,
yeah,
it'll never be an army because you can't. I mean, you could if you started a Bretonian army now. No. You could have a pro-painted...
By the time the Bretonian Army rulebook came out.
Which is never. Because, I mean, pro-painted to me means you're using the highest level of techniques, which means blending, possibly non-metallic metals or true metallic metals, which are they're just as difficult as non-metallics to do because you're still doing the lighting and you're doing the shading, the highlighting, the lighting, but you're using reflective metallic paint to create the illusion of light.
There are 3 to 4 people probably in the Chicagoland area. Maybe... 3 to 4, who could legitimately say they do pro-painted armies.
Yeah.
And I know them. I'm not going to mention them by name.
Call them out.
I don't want to call them out. Because they actually do really well stuff. I might not necessarily like their paint jobs, but if I saw it up there, I'd say, like, yes, that is a
pro-painted.
Yeah, it's a pro-paint job.
Because, I mean, they're using, like I said, it's the advanced techniques. It's... it's specific. You can't say your stuff is pro painted if you have base coat wash highlights.
Yeah,
that's. I mean, that looks nice.
So
I'm not going to say it doesn't look nice, but I would never call it professionally painted because it's not at that next level.
Yeah, and it's. I think that honestly, on eBay or anywhere, like, you have to say that it's painted, not pro painted.
Yeah, well, everyone, if it's fully painted, they will say pro painted.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what quality,
yeah.
or even if it's based.
Yeah.
Because I saw a Grey Knights army that was atrocious, that had no basing work whatsoever. They were just the black bases, and it said pro painted on it. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, this looks like it was painted by a 5-year-old.
But that's also part of the problem with eBay in general, is that eBay is almost. eBay is probably one of the hardest things to find good models, good deals on.
Deals, I think you can find, but on painted stuff, you're not going to find any deals. The painted stuff's outrageous.
You know me, I paint all. If I buy something that's painted, I immediately strip it and then repaint
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Well, I mean, most of the painted stuff, if it's painted well enough to be, you know, like that one model we had in the last cast where I was like, that model's not that bad. And I was like, oh, it's $80. That's insane. You know, that's what I mean. Like, you're not going to find a deal on painted stuff because people think that painting their model, just by putting paint in the model, it quadruples the value of it, which is not accurate
at all.
You can,
however, my HeroClix Justice League that I painted is amazing. I did when I
you've declared it to be amazing.
It has. I put that up there as propaganda when I went to Gen Con.
Did you put it on there?
No. I might though. When I went to Gen Con last year, they had the big cart, the cases of the HeroClix.
Yeah,
$15 for a case, and I'm like, why the fuck not? I just bought a case for $15 and I brought it home, and me and my buddy Anthony, we just went through them all, and we're pulling open, we're like, hee hee
boosters.
What do you got?
Boosters.
Boosters.
I got the Flash.
I did. I got the entire Justice League minus Martian Manhunter.
Which Green Lantern?
Oh, Hal Jordan, of course.
I like Guy Gardner.
Really?
Yeah, I love his Pageboy haircut.
Pageboy haircut.
His Pageboy haircut's amazing.
He got much better later on, but you know, I always think of Guy Gardner like from the 90s as like Stifler from American.
Dude, he's such a dick. He's awesome.
Yeah, that's why I always thought that like Sean William Scott should have played Guy Gardner.
Or you get Jon Stewart.
Oh yeah, I don't mind Jon Stewart. I just kind of feel like
it would be awesome if you based him on a scenic base with background, and you made the background the set of the Daily Show. He's flying around.
Oh, I get it. I get jokes. Jokes are funny. That's the whole thing with the. There was a huge discussion about that, and I just that's what I feel. It's like pro painting. Listen, there are people who make their living off of professionally painting, and I follow a lot of them on.
You know, I'll do a rule of thumb. If you're one of the people who lists your stuff on eBay, you're probably not. No, yeah. I doubt any of them listen. But if you're one of the people who lists your stuff on eBay and you want to list it as pro painted, this is your task. Cool Mini or not?
Yeah.
If you get a 8.5 or higher.
Oh, why you gotta put it at 8.5?
8.5, that's fair.
I've gotten 8.1 is the highest I've ever gotten.
Sorry, dude. Not pro painted. 8.5 or higher. You could say it's pro painted.
That was my Marienburg landship.
8.1, I would say, is very well painted.
Very well painted.
It's right below.
You're a very well painter, sir.
Yeah, you're very well painter. You paint wells.
It's okay. It's taking me forever. Nothing I've put on Cool Mini has gotten below 7.0. And none of my new stuff has gotten below 7.0, which I feel really good about. I'm haha, I'm better than the average.
I mean, have you seen some of the models that get, like, 8.7s and 9s? I'm just like, I can never paint a model that well.
Oh, God, a 9. It's like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the other thing, too, is a lot of the times, you know, I mean, I'm an army painter.
Yeah.
I would say you're.
And I'm an army painter.
You're an
too.
Army painter.
I just can't. I can't do single models. I can't do it.
It's so brutal.
It's so boring.
Yeah, because you're just painting the same guy forever. But a lot of the guys that get up to the high nines and stuff, they're painting single minis.
You know what also annoys me? What annoys me is that there's never been a perfect 10 on Cool Mini.
I'm pretty sure there was at least one.
Never. There's no perfect 10s.
Really?
I look at it regularly to see if, like, because even if there's one guy who's like, no, 9.
Is there a 9.9? A 9.9?
Yeah, there's lots of 9.9s. I shouldn't say there's a lot. There's like two or three.
There's like one dude just tanking it. He's like, that's the best paint model I've ever seen. One! As he like leans back in his chair and the Cheeto dust falls out of his beard.
I hurt. I can never take back this one.
he's trying to take it back. He's like, I was just, no. Dies in his computer.
They find him later collapsed on top of a bunch of goblin spear points.
And pillowcases with anime girls painted on them in their underwear.
Oh, Toshiko-san.
But Krieger-san, my flowers are wilting. God, you are just like your mother.
No. Yeah, it's an interesting discussion to say that.
I would just say don't put your shit as propane unless you can achieve the 8.5.
I think that's like when we're talking about like the 10 commandments of hobby. Of the hobby.
The number one commandment of the hobby.
I agree with you on this.
We were going to discuss various things. We never really got the time to discuss it, so this is going to be like seat of the pants. Yeah. But number one was discussed. Number one, take a fucking shower.
Yeah.
That is the number one rule of the hobby. Of gaming in general. It should be the number one rule of life. Take a fucking shower.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like a, I think, just like, I don't think there needs to be 10 commandments. I think that needs to be the only commandment.
The only commandment of the hobby is take a fucking shower.
Take a shower. I mean,
dude, the worst is when you go into the gaming room and you just get blasted by some dude's raunchy fucking BO. It's unreal.
I mean,
this is the thing I don't get. Like, I've gone, you know, I go days without taking showers. Like,
I do two a day. I'm a two-a-day
guy. Two showers a day?
Jeez.
I mean, but do you smell really bad?
No, I don't feel clean.
Oh, okay.
But it's not OCD. It's not like I, like, take, like a bar of
soap. The ritualistic, and you're like digging your skin off. Like, the dirt won't come off.
It won't come off.
No, I mean, I've gone days without taking a shower. Yeah. But if I stink, I'm like, oh, I stink. So I go take a shower.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, so people will tell you stink.
Yeah. I've never been told that I stink. Except by her. But that doesn't count because I'm, like, walking around farting and being half naked. But the thing about it is, my point about it is, I'm trying to figure out how long it's been since these dudes showered. Because I know some people have, like, extreme BO, where it's just, like,
No matter what.
Yeah, they'll start sweating. They'll be clean in the morning, they'll start sweating, and then they'll just stink.
Yeah.
Some people like that. And, take some Right Guard. Bring some Right Guard with you, put it in your army bag, and, you know, get yourself some Right Guard in the middle of the day.
A little Febreze.
Or Axe, whatever. You know,
hit yourself. No, not Axe. That's not shit. That's terrible.
Whatever.
That's douchebag game.
A spray thing that makes you smell.
That's what I'm saying. Febreze. You'll smell like at least fabric softener.
Yeah, fine. So use that. Yeah. But the other people who because they can't, everybody can't have that because it's got to be rare. How long are they waiting to bathe?
You know what? Here's what I think. I think most of it comes from, and this is not just minigaming. Minigaming gets the.
I would say it's nerd culture.
It's
comic book conventions, gaming conventions.
It's
especially anime conventions. Actually, wargamers take a lot of the brunt, but anime conventions are the worst.
I'd say wargamers because wargaming is a situation where you're sitting in a group against another person for an extended period of time. At least in anime, it's like you get like that weird Coriolis effect where people are walking around swirling everything together. You know, it's like an apartment building where all the smells just start going together. You know, you can't tell where it's coming from. At like wargaming, you can tell where it's coming from because the people are standing in one spot.
Yeah.
And that miasma that surrounds them.
The miasma of pestilence.
What is it in Mordheim where you get with the Nurgle?
It's the miasma of pestilence.
Is what it's called?
And Nurgle's rot.
Nurgle's rot, yeah. It's like that Nurgle rot that just stays there and then it follows you to the bathroom.
And if you stay too close to him, it'll come on to you.
Yeah, and you're like, oh my god, it transferred over, then you bring it to your
like in Seinfeld. Then you get in your car and it stays in the car, and your car is BO forever, and you have to sell it.
Yeah. You get the Kavorka.
The Kavorka.
But yeah, that's the number one thing is, but I think a lot of it too is that it's a healthy mix of young men who just haven't learned that you have to take care of yourself. Your mommy's not going to bathe you anymore. You have to shower on your own. You have to get soap. You have to get, you know, shampoo. You have to get haircuts.
Oh, and the other thing, too, like I said, I've gone a few days without taking a shower. I have a very sedentary job. I don't really do too much. Sometimes I'll go in the back and do, like, a lot of work.
Yeah, you also probably work in a place where that has air conditioning.
That's true, unless I'm working in the back all day. If I work in the back all day, I'll come home and take a shower.
Yeah, see, that's me. I work in a building without air conditioning.
And cons, if I'm at a con or a tournament, whatever, I shower every day. I usually shower in the morning and then at night.
Yeah, me too.
So I do twice a day if I'm at a con.
Oh god, because I'm going to Wizard World in, you know, a couple weeks.
All of the Star Trek captains are going to be there.
Yeah,
it is.
Is it
all five? The first time ever, they're all going to be in one place.
Are you excited?
I'm not going to go.
You're not going to go?
No,
it's terrible. It's the worst convention in the world.
Yeah.
Speaking of bad conventions, Games Day is coming up.
Hey-o. I wouldn't consider Games Day a convention.
No, it's not really.
It's a one. I don't think you consider a one day event a convention.
Yeah, you can. Because there's conventions that are one day. No, Games Day.
It just seems to be flying in the face of every other convention. It's like all of the conventions are a multiple day weekend event. Like Gen Con's 4 days.
Oh, Gen Con.
You could start on Wednesday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You got 5 days out of Gen Con.
No, Games Day is a convention. My problem with Games Day is I don't think that there's enough stuff to do to necessitate.
I think there's more than enough for a day.
Yeah,
a day's
if you do everything, if you do the conversion contest, you go wait in the Forge World line.
You and your Forge World line. Are you going to live tweet from the Forge World line this year?
Like I did last year?
Yeah.
Sitting in... No, I did that at Adepticon.
Oh, at Adepticon? Oh, okay.
Sitting in Forge World line, hour three. Provisions have run out.
Running out of water. Guy behind me looks at me hungrily. Hope I don't get eaten.
No, I don't need anything at Forge World.
Yeah. You don't need anything at Forge World. I don't know about that. I'm sure you can find something you need.
The only thing I...
Little Monsters Arcana, the book.
I could get that from the bunker. And B, it's Monsters Arcanum, which is a Forge World supplement to a book I don't even own.
You mean the Storm of Magic?
Storm of Magic!
Fucking terrible supplement.
It's like... Hey, you can take all these magic, and you can take all these monsters in your army. Why would I do that? To have fun.
No, it's can I bring it to a tournament?
Yeah.
No. Oh well, you can have this book back then. I'll just take some more Chaosmen.
Looks like I got some more toilet paper.
I'll just take this box of Skaven instead.
I'll take this box of Chaosmen.
Yeah, Chaosmen.
You know, it's the it's like, can I put it in my army? Oh yeah, you can put it in your army. Why would I do that? For fun. What's that? Which is rule number two, which is that play to have fun, not to win, in the commandments list.
I'm gonna throw it out there, depending on what game you're playing. If you're playing a looser beer and pretzels rule system, like Warhammer Fantasy or 40K.
What's a game that you would only play to win?
War Machine. Hordes.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if me and you were playing, we'd just play to have fun. We wouldn't play to win against each other.
Well... I mean, War Machine Hordes kind of fall in a very interest. Like, all right, this is why you can. Like, we would both play to win if we played War Machine Hordes.
Yeah, but I mean, it's.
But like, here's why when you play to win War Machine Hordes, you're not. It's not. It doesn't mean play like a douchebag.
That's what I'm saying. It's like when you're playing, don't play like a douchebag. Don't build an army.
The thing is, it's a lot easier to play like a douchebag in a game with poorly or very loose written rules like 40K or Fantasy, because there's so many rules there that are just kind of like, like 40K more so than Fantasy, because Fantasy's got the very regimented style of moving, so there's a little less exploits you can do, but like 40K has got like...
unit coherency. Put those models next to each other. Yeah.
But there's lots of things where you could just, you know, you eke out some bullshit in 40K.
What I'm saying, play to have fun, it's especially in those rules... where it can be very loosely based.
The other point is that in 40K and Fantasy, the balance of army power and even the choices of squads in your army, the power level varies so widely. Like, example, you're using guardsmen. Yeah. You have a squad of guardsmen, 30 guardsmen with las guns and a heavy weapon, right? And I have a squad of 10 paladins for Grey Knights. Your guardsmen are fucked. There is no way they can possibly touch the paladins. So if I'm playing an all-paladin army of Grey Knights, which I would say is a pretty, you know, win-at-all-costs list, like you're very over-the-top, gotta win, your opponents will not be able to... Certain lists will not be able to bring a counter.
Yeah,
your army can't, because our game is imbalanced with War Machine and Hordes.
But that doesn't mean that you can't play to have fun. Even if you have a shitty army, you can play to have fun as opposed to playing to win.
But and the other guy's going to be playing to win. So you're not going to have a good time against him, because he's going to be... Not only is this... But see, the thing is, it's usually so over the top when they're playing to win, because their army is better than yours. They know their army is better than yours. They know that their choices are maximized and your choices are not. And then they're still going to play to maximize everything.
Okay. And this is part of it. Is if that guy is also playing to have fun, he can also... And it could be a fun game regardless. What I'm saying is that you're not going to... A player who's a douchebag, and we know... And we've talked about a couple of them on the podcast. We, you know, never mentioned them by names, of course. We've said several things that they do or they bring to the table, and identifying markers. You know, perhaps even the case that they bring their figures in. Like, there's reasons why people don't play them. Like, and if you see yourself, it's like... How come
I find a lot of the times I'm playing against someone who's like super, because I mean, I used to be pretty competitive, but I always got good sports scores.
Yeah.
Because, except for people who didn't understand the concept of sportsmanship and would knock my sports for army composition, which is another reason I hate Games Workshop soft scores, because people don't understand them.
They don't exist anymore. There's no official GW tournament.
The RTTs have soft scores. every Games Workshop tournament, whether or not it's run by Games Workshop. So 40K or Fantasy, your tournament's going to have soft scores. Yeah. It's going to ask you at the end of the game, was your opponent army painted? Was your opponent fun to play against? Was your was your opponent's list out of control? What's their sportsmanship? Whatever. So a lot of people will knock sportsmanship when they should be knocking the army composition. So they'll knock you on both. They'll be like, oh, his army was totally win at all costs.
But that's also part of what I'm saying. Play to have fun. Don't play to win.
But see, you can have a guy who's playing to win using a shitty army.
Yeah.
And if he's playing to win using a shitty army, he's going to wreck everyone's shit. Because he's going to ruin their soft scores.
And that's why that person's not going to be... no one's going to want to play against that person.
Yeah.
I'm saying in a tournament... Now, a tournament is a different game altogether. Because a tournament...
I mean, if you're playing pickup games... Yeah. If you're playing seriously to win in a pickup game, you've got problems.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, in a pickup game. I'm talking from a tournament player perspective.
Yeah, tournaments, shmurnaments.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Tournament, Warhammer and 40K tournaments are usually not very fun. Because of that kind of person. You get them all the time. But in War Machine and Hordes, because everything is so good, every model in that game, there's like the models that are like, the model's not that great in War Machine and Hordes. That model's still pretty fucking good. You just need to find the right combo for it.
Yeah.
So if we played a game and you used your Circle of Ouroboros versus my Krix, all of our stuff is so over the top good, we're just gonna be wrecking the shit out of each other. It's not even close.
But we're playing to have fun. We're not playing to win.
Yeah.
Like I would never play you to beat you. I would play Tim Lyson just to
So you could accidentally, quote unquote, accidentally knock one of his models over and be like, oh, I broke that guy. That guy is broken.
And then poop on that model. Poop on that model.
I poop on it.
Yeah, that's my number two. That was
Poop on models.
Number one, make sure you're
take a shower.
You take a shower. Number two, play to have fun. I think those are like my two commands. Also, number three. If I'm playing you at a game, no matter what the game is, if we're playing RPG, Magic, Dungeons and Dragons, Warhammer, any of the War Machine, if I'm playing you, get off your goddamn phone.
Yes, that's the worst.
Playing Munchkin, honestly, I've been playing a lot of Munchkin lately. I've played like three or four games in the last 2 weeks. There's always one person at the fucking table who can't put down their goddamn phone when it's not their turn. And then it gets to them, and then they're looking at their cards going, I'm like, you should have fucking figured out what you're doing.
It's the worst at RPGs. At RPGs, it's the worst, because I'll be like, one person will be going, another person will be going, and then two people will be on their phones. So you'll get around the table, and you'll come to them, and he'll still be sitting on his phone, and you'll be like, it's your turn. And they'll look up and be like, oh, what's happening?
What's going on?
What's going on? I'll move here. And then they just go back to their phone.
Like,
dude, why don't you just go home? Why don't you just go home? Like, forget it. The only exception to be on your phone's rules is if you're playing with the sweet-ass War Room app from Frontier Press. Yes, that app's badass.
I haven't gotten it yet. Is it free or is it yet?
It's not available yet. It's in the
beta stage?
Not the beta. It's past that. They've submitted it to the Android store and the iPhone store, and they're, like, doing the approvals to make it go gold.
Yeah.
And then that program is going to be awesome. It's free.
Oh, it's going to be free.
It is free. You get every model in Prime. And every model in the starter set included.
Oh, okay.
And then you buy the decks. But you only have to buy one. So $6.99, I buy the Krix deck. It gives me every Krix miniature ever released, including those to be released in the future. Forevers. And then, say you're playing Circle, you buy the Circle one. When we play each other, you have access to all my cards that I bring. I have access to all the cards that you bring. So you don't need to buy every army's cards to play them. So if you're bringing 10 specific models and I'm bringing 10 specific models, I can look during your turn, I can look at your models and like go like, okay, this guy has this. And it gives you... because in War Machine, there's a lot of stuff where you don't do a lot during your opponent's turn. And by don't do a lot, I mean you do nothing.
Yeah.
You absolutely nothing during your opponent's turn. So you can have it, and then rather than making the game pause, looking at his card, going like, oh, I see what this guy's doing, you can just look at your app and go, okay, I see. Oh, this is his feat. And like you just kind of casually pay attention to what your opponent is doing.
Yeah.
You know, watch his rolls and stuff. And then... I like that, and it tracks damage. So if your warcaster is taking 20 damage, you mark it on your phone. I can look on my phone and see he's taking 20 damage. I'm gonna fuck his couch.
Well, and I already do that. I have Eddie RP any game that I play, I have the books on digital format on my iPad.
Mm.
Yeah, and that's just the way it is.
Well, I don't like the iPad because it's so big on the gaming
table.
Yeah,
you don't like the iPad. You're just like, I don't like it because it's popular.
Well, I also don't like the iPad because it's insanely overcosted.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so overcosted to sell. You can get a tablet that'll
so
do the same thing.
So good for casting and so good for gaming.
You get an Android tablet that does the same thing for almost none of the cost. But regardless, this isn't a tech fucking discussion. I don't like the size of tablets for gaming because it's such a big thing. You put it on the table and it's taking up a lot of space. So I like the phone. Just, you know, because it's very, very portable, and you're like, ah.
Well, the phone is also good for card size, too, because you can have your cards available that way.
Exactly.
That makes sense to me, but I like the tablet because I like to masturbate to the pictures that I see on the big screen.
Well, I can see, like, reading, because it feels more like reading a book.
Yeah.
But then you might accidentally pee on your tablet someday. That would be awesome.
Pee on my book.
Like, I peed on my tablet. I mean, you might pee on the book, but the book will dry out. Tablet, I don't know. If you get that urine inside the electric components.
They're like the little tab that turns different color. And they're like, this got wet for some reason. It smells like pee. It smells like an anime convention.
It smells like grandma.
It smells like an anime convention.
Yeah, that's about right. So I think that's it. We don't need 10.
Yeah, I think it's just those three.
Just those three.
I honestly think that.
Just don't be a douche.
Don't be a douche. That's the number one.
Take a shower.
Yeah.
Don't be a douche.
Yeah.
What was the other one?
I don't know. We're talking about Warmer Sheet.
Take a shower. We've already forgotten the second rule.
Oh, pay attention when it's not your turn.
That wasn't the second rule.
Yeah, no, the second rule was don't be a douche.
No, that was rule three.
No,
the first rule is take a shower.
No, the first rule is take a shower. Second one is don't be a douche when you're playing. And the third one is pay attention when it's your turn.
I'm pretty sure when you listen to this again.
No, I'm pretty sure I will bet you $10 because I've already won $10 on another bet regarding Super Mario World.
Hold on. What was your bet on Super Mario World? Ask me the question, and then I'll see if I get it right.
It wasn't a question. A girl said that in Super Mario World, you got a leaf. And I was like, no, it's Super Mario World, you get the feather. Yeah. And she was like, no.
The leaf is Mario 3.
And then I proved her wrong, and then she's like, oh, we were talking about the same thing. I'm like, oh my god, my head is about to explode.
Well, maybe she thought the feather was a leaf. The actual leaf is Mario 3. That gives you the raccoon ears and
the
tail.
The raccoon ears and tail. Yeah. And the feather gives you the cake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he spins. Yeah, Mario's sweet. Dude, that's a tactical Mario skirmish miniatures game.
Speaking of video games to miniatures, I was going to talk about how come there is not a Mass Effect skirmish game, any skirmish game?
On Shapeways, some dude is doing their Frogan.
Frogan?
Frogan.
Ooh, Frogan.
Yes.
I just finished
and,
Mass Effect.
Balerians.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're all clearly Mass
Effect
Shapeways?
Miniatures. I'm gonna take it.
On Shapeways. They're all clearly Mass Effect miniatures. And then the Normandy, I think it's called like the Bormandy or something.
You know what? I just finished playing Mass Effect 2. It was like my summer game. I took a week off of painting because I finished all my Golden Demon stuff. I got it all to like the almost finished stage, like 90% done, and then I was like, I need to take a break because if I keep working on this, I'm going past that law of diminishing returns for painting, you know, where it's like you overpaint things and then you make mistakes.
Yes.
It's like I need to take a break, come back, and then this week, which is a week before games day, we're recording on Sunday.
Clear it up,
and I'm going to go through, I'm going to touch up everything, make sure all my bases.
Oh, speaking of games day, are you free tomorrow? Do you want to do the Star Trek thing?
Star Trek? I should be able to.
Okay.
Yeah. You're going regardless, right?
Probably.
All right. So I should be able to go. Okay. But anyway,
I need to take a look at the ticket costs because I think they're reduced, but I need to find out.
Just let me know.
Okay.
But the I went and so I was, you know, I fell back on that with the painting and everything. So I did Mass Effect for a week, played all the way through. And I'm like, this is a fantastic skirmish game. I mean, you have all the different factions. You got all the merch. You have Blue Suns, Eclipse, Blood Pact. You can, you know, set it all
Shepherd's
up.
Shepherd's Crew.
Shepherd's Crew. Well, that's just like a regular mercenary. You have all these different races that works, and they all have their abilities, and you have the biotics,
yep.
which works.
The ones
like
that are more
powers.
Biotics, the ones that are more tech, and the ones that have robots.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's like a fucking, it's a beautiful mini game right there. But then the more I thought about it.
I think they already had that game, though. I think it's called Infinity.
I went back and I was like, oh man, this would be great. And then I looked at it and I was like, I was like, Mass Effect Minis. I typed it into Google and I was looking and I was like, oh wait, this game already exists and it's Infinity.
Yeah. And Infinity actually works really well. So if you wanted to use some of that guys from Shapeways, you could find very specific models in Infinity that work, especially for, like, because there's the tags that give you the medium size and the bigger ones for the robots. I mean, that's it works well.
A lot of actually, I was just talking with
Infinity's really fun. Have you played it?
Yes, I have played Infinity. I told you this before. We've talked about Infinity on this podcast numerous times, and every time I tell you, it's like,
do you have it? Oh, you sold your Infinity Man.
Yes. To recap something we've gone over three times.
That's right. Oh, that's right. But I got you back by not selling my Skaven and having them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So I mean, And actually, Infinity's getting a lot of buzz in the Chicagoland area.
I've noticed that Infinity's getting more traction, but there's one weird thing I noticed. I signed up for my tournaments for Gen Con. I signed up for a War Machine tournament. Yeah. There's 60 War Machine events at Gen Con.
Really?
6-0. 59 of them sold out.
Really?
35 points. There was one left that was 50 points.
And you're in that one?
Then I'm in that one. It was nice. The only 50-point tournament. And I'm like, damn it, I'd much rather play 35, but oh well. And then there are, like, 16 Dark Age events. Mm-hmm. So I signed up for 3 Dark Age tournaments, which is why I'm painting my mans very,
Yeah, you're painting your Dark Age
My
guys.
Dark Age mans. And there is one Infinity event.
Really?
One Infinity event. And I was like, how is this... What?
in the Chicagoland area, Infinity's picking up. I'm hearing more people talking about it. You know, I got my ear to the inner tubes.
Yeah.
And they were telling me that, like, more people are... It's not that they're necessarily playing it. They're interested in it. They're like, hey, have you heard about this Infinity? I'm like, yes, the game came out, like, 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's super old.
Yeah. And I've Gen Con, I'm just doing another painting, so... Being the speed painting around.
You can't use your airbrush. You're going to be defeated.
Oh, God.
you're going to be, if only I had my airbrush.
Oh, God. Last year, I did the speed painting for Reaper, and I was sitting next to a woman who was in a cosplay outfit, and she obviously should not have been cosplaying as
what
she was cosplaying.
What was she cosplaying as?
Like some fairy or other, and she had like stuff coming out of places that shouldn't
have. I was hoping it was Morgan Askeladd from Darkstalkers with the skin tight suit with like the booby cups.
Yeah, and I was just like, ugh. And she kept on talking to me throughout the entire thing. I'm like, is this your strategy? Are you trying to throw me off by talking to me? Because anybody who's hobbied with me, who's like seen me while painting, I'm just like, yes, quite. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm the same way when I'm painting. I don't say anything.
Yeah.
And sometimes if I do want to chit-chat while painting, I'll actually set down my model and, you know, be like, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. But most of the time when I'm in the painting zone, I just, my head's down, and I'm painting.
Yeah, exactly. And I just, like,
and, like, stuff. Things that normally wouldn't annoy me really start to annoy me while I'm painting. Like, it's weird, because, you know, it's like, normally I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's cool, or, like, respond, and, like, people, because I used to paint at the bunker, I would, you know, be sitting there painting, and... Occasionally, people walk by and be like, oh, what are you working on? And I'll be like, oh, I'm doing this army, whatever.
I think this episode will be called The State of the Hobby 2012.
Hey.
Because this is... We're just talking about hobby stuff, me and you, right now, so, yeah.
And so I'd be painting, like, do-do-do-do, and then I look, and some dude comes up, and he's like, oh, what are you working on? I'm like, oh, I'm just working on these, you know, Space Marines or whatever. And, he's like, oh, that's sweet. And then he'll sit down and start hobbying on his own. But then I'll sometimes have someone who knows me, or, like, one of the little kids who knew me, and they would come in and just be like, Steve, are these the Cornate Chain Axes? And I'm just like, get the fuck off, Billy! I'm trying to fucking paint! I will strangle you to death in front of your mother.
Your hot mother.
Well, I mean, there were some certain hot moms over at the bunker.
Not and Mills. Hot moms.
Yeah, hot moms. what are you doing? What are you guys looking at?
Hot moms.
Hot moms. And then there were some that looked very tired and were not...
Tired moms.
Yeah, tired moms. Haggard. 50 miles of bad road.
Sunday.
And she's been dragged over it. You thought she was hot from behind, but you made a big mistake.
Big mistake.
Mega battle.
I'm gonna come back for Mega Battle on Saturday.
I'm so fucking annoyed with the bunker now because they don't have a paint bar anymore.
Yeah.
Like, what the shit? The paint bar was the best thing there because you had the staff in the center so they could talk to everybody painting and hobbying, and you had the big, nice wood banister where everyone sat and painted. It was like a little bar. Why the shit isn't that there anymore?
I think, you know, I don't want to knock it, because I do miss the paint bar. I miss the ability to sit up there. There's a couple things that I think the reason why that the paint bar doesn't exist. And people who don't know, Games Workshop, the bunker, and Downers Grove, Chicago.
Were all the bunkers kind of laid out the same way?
I don't know necessarily. I've only ever been to the one. Right. Maybe Detroit, if that still exists. Yeah.
If Detroit hasn't been actually burned to the ground.
Nuked from orbit. Yeah. That's the only way to be sure.
I imagine Dark Age is actually just happening in Detroit.
It happens in Detroit. It's modern warfare. It's just Detroit.
It's Detroit.
They used to have, they would sit in this, they would have a bar set up. It was semicircular. And it was, you'd sit around it, and then the employees would sit there.
It was like a bar. It was literally like a normal bar at a bar.
And they had, that's where they had the cash register and everything, and they would ring people up on one side, and then the other two sides, people would sit there, and they would paint and everything like that.
And chit-chat.
And chit-chat and fun and everything. I think there are a couple issues with that. Number one is, I think that it did take employees away from their number one thing, which is getting into the store and making sure that the customers are being helped. Now, I know a lot of veterans don't like that. Like, me and you, I hate it when an employee who doesn't know me comes up to me and is like, so what are you working on? I'm like, trust me.
You know what? Whenever anyone do that, I'm just like, oh, Cricks.
Cricks.
You know, oh, Kador.
I'd be that dude. Oh, God, I'd hate you so much if I came in and I heard that. I'd just be like, oh, you're such a... And it's nothing against the employees, because that's their job. That's what they're supposed to do. Like, it does annoy me. But I could see that for the main purpose of selling. That's the reason why they do that.
But I don't know. I would say there should still be a paint bar with, like, maybe one person there. You know, and then the other people milling about.
Another reason is that paint bar would get filthy.
That's true.
Filthy, disgusting, because people would come in there and they'd bring food and
eat their, like, Portillo's beef sandwiches. There's, like, cheese whiz.
Going back to the number one of the top three of the Hobby Ten Commandments, of the take a shower, just being disgusting overall.
The hygiene, yeah.
It's like their mouth opens up like fucking Predator when they're eating.
What the hell are you?
It's like Zoidberg.
Painting? Why not Zoidberg?
Hey, from the shop, in the garbage, it looks exactly like my old one.
Ah, feast is a feast.
Exactly. That's what it's like. It's, you know, you got that. It's disgusting, and it was hard to clean that bar because it wasn't put together for the purpose for which it ended up serving.
Yeah.
It wasn't designed for painting. The tables that they have now are designed to take paint, and then the paint just wipes right away or scrapes off or everything. It's not a big issue. They have smaller, like, four people, like, tables. The chairs are ungodly uncomfortable. And also, there was other problems, too. Like, you know, people would go there, and they paint, yes, and it's showing the hobby and everything like that. But you'd also get people who go in there and would never spend a dime in the store. And all they would do is just come, I'm just coming in to paint. I have stuff all the way back from first edition fantasy. I don't need anything else.
And they would try and use the workshop paint.
Oh, they would do everything. It was just...
the store paint. It was like, I need some bubonic brown.
Yeah. Do you have any of this tentacle pink?
Like, of course we have tentacle pink. No one ever uses it. Here.
Take all of it.
Take it all.
But yeah, that's the problem. And I miss the paint bar. Don't get me wrong. I can't fault them for that business
decision. I would be that guy now, though. I would just be the guy who comes in and brings
stuff. Exactly. I am, too.
I mean, it's not even... It wouldn't be out of spite. I just don't have anything I want or need.
Yeah. I mean, I'm older. I can go out and I can get stuff I need. I can find stuff I need at other places and get it for cheaper. But
for me, it's not even value. It's just, like, I don't need anything else. Like, my army is 1,500 points. Yeah. It's complete. Like, I...
Oh, yeah. No, I completely understand. It's like, you know, until you decide when the dwarf army book comes up, you go, dwarves are the best army ever! Let's buy dwarves!
If I want dwarves, I'll use the Mantic dwarves.
Yeah, but still.
I mean, but I have a dwarf army coming from Mantic already. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I have, with Mantic, if I ever take a strong blow to the head and I really want to play fantasy again, I'll have models to play.
Yeah.
So.
What else? Get some wood elves.
Wood elves. Fuck that. That's awful.
Hey, wood elf.
There's no way the wood elf models could ever look good enough to make you want to play with them. Never.
I've heard that the plastic tree man kit is going to be coming out with the high elf book, and it's going to be used for both high elves and wood elves.
So they're going to take one of the few things that make the wood elves special.
That's what I heard. That's what really my thought when I saw that. It's like, well, no, not makes the wood elves special, but makes the wood elves good.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It's like, hey, that's great for wood elves. Let's give it to an army that people actually play.
Well, it's because wood elves are atrocious.
Yeah.
They're awful, but whatever. That's nothing. And that's the other thing, too. The other thing that annoys me about Warhammer is that because it's not all designed simultaneously, your army could be decent, or mid-range, and then as books come out, your army just gets worse and worse and worse.
So anyway, let's...
And so you have to buy a new army, because your army sucks.
Let's talk about some of the...
Fuck that.
Oh, okay. God, this is like... You know, it's like, it's the most round argument I've ever heard. I hear you this once every 5 years from you about this. I'm out of a hobby!
I didn't say it was out of a hobby. Just like Warhammer.
You are the George Costanza of the hobby world.
I'm back in, Jerry!
Exactly! 40K Steve is back. Maybe you're like, you're like those, like Lady Hawk, you know, where the guy turns into a wolf, is a wolf by night, and she's a hawk by day. It's like, but gradually, it's like every 5 years, you're like, 40K! 40K! That's like you wax and wane 40K in fantasy. So 5 years from now, it's like you're going to be way into fantasy, but you're going to say, like, fuck 40K!
I'm going to do my best to attempt to never do that again. Because I've done it enough that I'm starting to see how many times I've done it, I'm just like, you know what? It's always with workshop games. It's never with non-workshop games.
That's very true.
I'm just like, you know what? I need to just stop going back and forth. I need to just actually... I'm going to pick the more... I'm literally... I have so many problems with fantasy. It made the decision easy. The fact that 40K is way more popular and everybody has a 40K army...
Except Joe.
Made it a lot easier.
Except me. Oh, you had a cast Space Marine and Renegade Strike Force there, eh?
They're Renegados. No, right there. The Fuerza de Ataque de Marines del Chaos... Renegados. We were discussing converting them up as the Renegados and giving them all ponchos and sombreros and like have the Land Raider with the mariachi band or the Oompa band, or not the Oompa band, Ranchero band.
Ranchero.
And then like the dude with the poncho and the sombrero like leaning up against one of the fences on the Land Raider just taking a nap.
No way, dude. I totally...
That'd be awesome.
I'd make like a hot chick.
I'd steal my Renegados.
There'd be a hot chick right on the front of that rhino.
Oh, like, make it like a low rider?
Yeah.
Totally. Well, you got the airbrush.
Totally.
You do it like that. I was going with the classic, like, sombrero, like we're the Renegados.
Like that awesome. Stereotype Speedy Gonzales way.
Yes. It would be awesome. And you have, like, the banners with the Mexican flag on it. The Renegados. Like,
this is my fuerza.
This is my fuerza.
De ataque de marines. Del Chaos Renegados. Maybe that'll be the title of this.
I got in trouble at school, so my mom took away my Renegados.
Luckily, I glued their pieces into my hermit crab.
She can't take away my hermit crab. He's the best of the Renegados.
He's not moving.
The super glue killed him, Billy.
Oh, no!
Why?
What does this mean for the rest of my Renegados?
So let's talk about some of the big releases that are coming, that are in the pipeline, or just have been released. The Special Edition Dungeons & Dragons.
The reprints. Books,
the reprints just came out, and then those look amazing.
Yeah, they're very nice.
Ugh. I wish that I had a reason to buy them. I had no reason to buy them whatsoever, but I mean, they just look so pretty.
I mean, they're collectible.
They're highly collectible.
They're just like anything, Lord of the Rings. They're highly collectible.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all you really would buy them for, their collectability. And then if you really wanted to play, I prefer Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. That's my D&D du jour. Even though I played more 2nd Edition, AD&D 2nd Ed, Advanced is my favy. Because Advanced is the most brutal version, like the one that like just wrecks you, where characters just die left and right, and then if a character, that's the thing, when a character survives in this is the biggest difference between the old school D&D and the new school D&D and kind of role playing in general. When you're playing old school, if a character survives and he makes it to like level 10 or 15, that guy's epic. You're just like, I can't, wow, this guy is so badass. Now it's expected. Like, the DM is expected to completely coddle you as a player and just be like, oh, you guys didn't die. You're okay. You've been captured. And now you're imprisoned by the bugbears or whatever.
Stop bringing up the goddamn bugbears, Steve. No one cares about the bugbears.
Or what? Owlbears.
It's the owlbears, yeah.
You're going to be eaten by the owlbears. But in old school D&D, like, everything fucking killed you. There was every fight, there's going to be some dude, he'll have, like, an instant death attack, or he'll just wreck you with some crit, and you'll die. Because your characters have no fucking hit points. You're like, you're a mage with 2 hit points. Or you're a magic user. Because that was the class. Magic user.
Magic user.
Yeah, you have 2 hit points. If a dude hits you, you're dead.
Yeah.
You go down.
Oh, yeah.
And then someone needs to save you because you're dying.
You know who could save you?
The cleric or the priest?
The renegados.
The renegados.
No, the renegados are all offense. They're no defense.
They come in.
No. It's, I don't like. I like the boom, 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 boom. Así es buenas noches, renegados bien. El Chaos Gods. Boom, 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 boom.
That went on far too long.
No way, that was just long enough. But that's, I love the old school feel when you're just, your dudes are, and yeah. That's what, it makes it more exciting when your characters are alive.
Yeah.
When they overcome the challenges, because there's actual threat. Because
yeah.
The DM will fucking kill you. There's a difference between doing an unfair challenge and just killing the players arbitrarily as the DM, and that's the difference, because you have a lot of DMs that are just douching you around, and they're just killing you because they're dicks. You can put in an appropriate level challenge against the players, and combat's deadly. It's dangerous. You know, their dudes will fuck you up. And then the other thing too is a lot of players, especially the newer ones, people who started with 3 and 3.5, didn't play D&D beforehand.
They don't understand that.
They also don't understand that there's more ways to win a fight than to run up and chop. But that's a lot of DMs who started later have that same problem too. They don't give you any option other than to run up and chop. So, like, example, if you're going through a cave system, right, and you come to like a natural bridge formation, and the party comes out, they're on the other end of the bridge, and on the other side of the bridge, there's a troll and some orc archers. In the classic mentality, you would be like, oh shit, they have a huge advantage on this bridge. You know, we're gonna have to go single file trying to get to this bridge. We better run now. Like, we have to run. There's no way we're gonna win this fight. Unless maybe the mage has a specific spell that could probably tip the balance in your party's favor. If you don't have something, and the character should know their characters well enough to know immediately if they can tackle that fight.
I got this, don't worry about it.
They need to know if they can tackle the challenge. If not, you need to run. In 3.5, 3.0, a lot of the player mentality, just right across the bridge, get into combat. Just run. Even Gandalf made them run away from the Balrog.
That's true, he did.
You know, that's classic D&D, because if it was 3.5, all of them would just be like, he'd be like, try, you fools, this foe's beyond any of you, and they'd be like, no, we'll turn around, we got enough hit points.
that is very Dungeons & Dragons. I never thought about it that way, it's very epic feeling, like the one guy will stave off the Balrog.
Because Gandalf clearly had more levels, because all the other player characters had died before. These were their new characters. So Gandalf was like level 8 or 9, and everyone else was level 4.
Fly, you fools!
Yeah, so he's strong enough to like stand up to the monster.
You shall not pass.
Yeah, so I mean, and that's classic. You have to think. You can't just be like, immediate. And 4th edition is the worst, because you're like, I'll use all of my powers and dailies and special abilities and blah, 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 blah. Just the shit stains. So I'm a big fan of advanced Dungeons and Dragons. There's some parts that are...
The new re-released books, they're just for show. You're not actually going to play with them.
I think you would be very hard-pressed to find a group of people who are currently into role-playing that are willing to regress to the previous edition. Unless they're all your age and they all really liked the old game.
That's Pathfinder. I'm talking 3.5.
so it's difficult to find a bunch of people who are interested in the old-school feel, because old-school games are brutal. You know, there are games where your characters are going to drop. They don't coddle you in any way whatsoever. So, yeah, your character's probably going to die at some point, so don't get too attached to him.
Exactly.
But then again, you get the flip side. If he survives, he's awesome.
He's awesome! Well, I mean, we're getting close to our end here, and I want to talk about just a couple more things. One is,
Descent 2nd Edition released as well.
Descent 2nd Edition.
Yes, Descent Journeys in the Dark, the dungeon crawling board game.
Yeah.
This is 2nd Ed. Very nice. Very
is it good?
From Fantasy Flight. Yeah.
Is it the one that's like, not Warhammer Quest, Warhammer Quest?
Kind of, sort of, Warhammer Quest is
good. Yeah, I'm thinking Talisman.
Talisman's more... drawn back. It's not actually down to the minutia. Descent is you're moving through a dungeon.
Yeah, and you get like the little board pieces, and it's like, you know, you set up the dungeon, you go through the dungeon.
Yep, with monster minis, there's like
spiders. Yeah.
It's a dungeon crawl board game.
Yeah. Descent. Have you played it?
I've played it before.
Never played Descent before.
Really?
I've played Warhammer Quest before, but I've only played it like once or twice.
Apparently the 2nd edition is much better. There's a lot of stuff that's cleaned up, some new rules that are some things that were shaky in the 1st edition, and there's new components, so like the game's just better quality overall. From Fantasy Flight Games, Descent, Journeys in the Dark, 2nd edition.
Very good.
And there's coming soon is a
Descent 3rd Edition.
No. It's a update pack for
all the old stuff.
Cool.
That's good.
That's Fantasy Flight.
Fantasy Flight. Never had a bad thing to say about Fantasy Flight. Well, they put out a couple bad games.
Yeah, but
yeah. Well, I want to talk about another Kickstarter Indiegogo is with Drakkhoff Manor.
The Titan. The Titan Forge guys?
Yeah, Drakkhoff's Menace. I wanted to talk about it because I've been following these guys for a while. I love Titan Forge. I think they do really fun stuff. They're the company it's like Mantic in a lot of ways. They're very high end though. Like
yeah,
where Mantic
way more expensive.
Is cheap. And it's like, this is if you want to put your army together and you want to help you. Titan Forge is like the people who put together that army that you've always dreamed about putting together.
But never wanted to spend the time to convert it.
The time for conversion and everything like that. We talked about it on the podcast a long time ago, way back when we first started. They did the Pirate Ogres, which are so good.
Yeah, they're awesome. Their cannon is on the back of a croc. Their Iron Guts have diver helmets on. Yeah,
they look cool. Unbelievable. I mean, granted, they are a little pricey. They're not more pricey than than the regular GW stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you're talking like pricey alternative miniatures, it's usually like, well, it's slightly more than Games Workshop retail.
No,
slightly
more.
Or slightly less.
This is almost... But they got a new Kickstarter out going on right now, and they're actually... they just started yesterday or the day before.
I think it was Friday they started.
And I wanted to put this out there because
Thursday.
Oh. I want to make sure they hit this because I want to see them do more stuff. I mean, the two things that they have out right now... One is ogres, and I'm not a big fan of ogres in general. And then this one that they got coming out is orcs and goblins.
Undead.
The undead orcs and goblins army.
So for all you cheeky guys who like to have one army, you can use as multiple armies.
This is a perfect example. So they have the orc captain and the orc leader, who's Drakkhull, and he's kitted out in full von Karstein armor.
The blood dragon armor.
It's the von Karstein, the new von Karstein armor. It looks just like
the
armor
Vlad
and Kyrie. Because the blood dragons don't exist anymore.
That's right.
Except for the most expensive, ridiculous box set of all time, the Blood Knights.
Oh, yes, that thing's atrocious.
The worst models.
And those models are shit.
$25 a piece.
And they're shit models.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Actually,
models.
I don't think you can get them individually anymore because they're the poop cast.
Yeah, they're bad. But this company, you can look it up on Indiegogo. It's called Drakkhull's, Drakkhull's.
I've
Menace.
Also linked it on the Facebook page.
We have linked it on the Facebook page. So if you do subscribe to us,
us on Facebook,
you can find it there. But they're doing like a lot of cool stuff. They got squigs they got skeleton squigs. They got flying bat squigs. They have
the boss on the big throne. Carried by the ghost giant?
Yes. When that gets released, that's unbelievable.
That's boss.
Yeah, it's basically, I think it's Drakkhull on a throne being carried by a giant, but it's a ghost giant.
Yes.
So it's got, he's got the very spectral and
totally
everything.
Totally boss. Use it as your mortis engine or your...
You
could use your mortis engine. You could use it as a giant in Orcs and Goblins, or you could use it as the...
The coven. Yeah, the coven throne or whatever it's called. Yeah, but they got a necromancer goblin who's riding a skeleton squig.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Which is awesome. And the sculpts aren't bad. I think
they're just GW.
Yeah, I think I would say that they're slightly below GW. But they're orcs and goblins, so they kind of will fit. They're in that same style as GW
stuff. The block
stuff.
They show, that's everything combined, where it's the zombie goblins, the zombie orcs, and the zombie trolls in one regiment. That looks very, very cool. Very sharp.
And they got some of the characters, they have a vampire orc who looks just like Nosferatu.
Yeah, you know? He's like, woo! And there's gonna be the mad doctor orc.
The mad doctor.
He's got the rubber gloves and the goggles.
Yeah, I mean, stuff that Steve really likes. It's very cheesy and it doesn't quite fit with,
anything.
It
doesn't fit with anything.
It doesn't fit.
It's just cool.
No, I mean, what I was saying is it doesn't fit with, the dark, grimdark tone of fantasy, but if you're looking to put together a really
fun... But they're orcs. Orcs are nothing but nothing if not grimdark.
Not grimdark. They also have banshee goblins, which look really cool, at least from the concept art.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah.
Spooky ghosts.
Spooky.
It wasn't me. It was a spooky ghost.
Yeah.
Blah! I hope they do one orc who's in the blah.
the
Count Blah pose. Blah!
The old von Karstein.
Yes.
Yeah, and they got some stuff on there. So I hope that they catch up soon. They're only looking for $5,000 to do the rest of the stuff.
They're probably already at their goal.
No, they're at about 1,500.
Okay.
And it's only been like a day.
Oh, they got some time.
Yeah. So get the word out. This army is going to be amazing.
And it's really nice.
I really like them, and they're kind of like, I could think, a companion to Mantic, where Mantic is putting out, oh, these are all your basic troops. You know, there's nothing special, and you know, like an Avatars of War, which is doing just characters. This is a
You can use the three companies and mash them together to create
together,
one amazing army.
You get amazing looking stuff. So I wanted to put that out there. So that's my last plug for the day for cool things that I've seen.
I think, and basically anything cool I see on Kickstarter, I always put it on.
So those
Dwarf Adventures, but that's going to be done.
I think it's already done now.
No, there were 5 days remaining when I posted it, so it's going to be done tomorrow, I think. So before the cast is up, then Shadows of Astarin. That game looks great. It looks like a very dark, simple game to play.
I like what I've seen so far. However, one complaint about it is it's making it seem very emo. The game is seem like the more stuff I read about it, the more emo it sounds.
Well, it's supposed to be dark gothic fantasy.
Yeah, so. I was just like, ooh.
Well, the other thing too, a lot of the characters that they're showing.
That's the thing, is the characters.
A lot of the characters they're showing are from donators.
Oh, are they?
They're from people who donated who want to do their own background for the characters.
So
if they're extremely emo, that's not the company's fault.
That's okay.
Yes.
That makes me feel better then, at least. That it's just. Because, yes, there's a lot of people like, I am an elf who has lost their family.
There's no elves. There's no non-humans.
Saying, you know.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like, it looks, in terms of other works of fiction, Berserk, the anime Berserk, which is the best manime of all time, and like
anime. Really, do we have to come up with a word called manime?
We do, because so much is just trash. I just have to call it manime because it's like, yes,
it's manly.
It's manly and it's worth watching. So even people who don't like anime like Berserk. Like, people who pretty much are like, anime is fucking stupid. And I'm like, dude, watch this show. It's called Berserk. I'm like, oh, this show's badass. Because, I mean, it's an animated show. You know, there's good and bad, like, everything. But people, like, because when people think anime, they don't think, like, a realistic drama with swords and knights and shit. Yeah. They think of, like, girls in, like, dresses that are all, like, just blowing up, revealing their panties and camel toe, and they're like, oh, Krieger-san!
Whatever I think, like, my number one thing I think of the anime is Sailor Moon. Always, hands down.
She is the one called Sailor Moon.
Yeah, you know, the bad thing about Sailor Moon...
Moon Prism Power!
Stop it. Because what I think of is I think of fat anime fans dressed up as Sailor Moon. And now imagine...
The Sailor Moon dude with the beard?
It's like you.
I would not dress like Sailor Moon.
I know, but that's like... But I'm saying it's like the guy looks like you.
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, the underwear would be comfortable at least.
Oh, it's so bad. And I've probably seen every episode of Sailor Moon.
I watched it when I was younger, because it was on Fox at like 5 in the morning.
And I'd be out
before school.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, this is a fucking anime.
Yeah, because I would...
A tuxedo mask.
I just... And I've seen, you know, every...
That is not a good anime.
No, it's terrible. No, I put that on, it was like that, and I think Pokemon was on right after it.
Yeah.
And that's where I saw a lot of the Pokemon.
I want to be the very best.
And I'm a couple years...
No one ever was.
I'm a couple years older than you, so it was like... I was like 13 or 14 when I was watching, and I'm just like, oh, this is terrible.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I knew they were... I was younger than you, and I knew they were terrible, but I still watched them. Because they were on. It was on TV. It's the best logic for watching anything when you're young. It's like, why are you watching that? It's on TV.
Well, it was before the internet. That's the thing that kids got to remember, is, like, we had nothing else to do.
Yeah, so, like, when you saw Dragon Ball Z, you're like, oh, my God, Dragon Ball Z! Wow, I heard about this. I heard about this from my friend.
I have the bootlegs at home that have the non-censored Japanese versions.
Yes. Actually, interestingly enough, there was a... I used to watch the Dragon Ball Z on Telemundo. Because
Telemundo.
On Telemundo, they had really competent voice actors, and the voices sounded cool, and it was completely uncensored. Completely uncensored. Which I was like, huh, that's really weird. Because in the American version, all the voice acting is trash, complete, totally censored, and like, awful. But the Spanish one, completely uncensored. I don't get it. I'm on network television, so.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Anyway,
Es maximum poder de las chaos renegados. Renegados. Unidos.
I was watching a show about my renegados.
So anyway, go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. Whatever they may be. I knew, I was looking at you, and you're like, what are those needs?
And what could those needs be, perhaps?
You could follow me.
Chocolate icing decadence.
You could follow me on You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Archer. You could follow Steve at Game Classy. Right now, and you could like us on Facebook. That is the number one thing. We are running a contest, and we're going to record a bumper actually before this so that we can put it on before the episode.
Ooh, a bumper.
That would remind them. If you're listening to this, because I guarantee you there's people who would put on the show for all of, like, 3 minutes and are like, fuck this! However,
these guys are assholes.
If the first 10 minutes it says, if when we get 100 likes on Facebook, we're going to roll a dice, and those 100 people get a chance to win a two-player War Machine starter set, there's going to be, like, you know, there's tons of grognards who are going to be like, I like free stuff! Click. Because that's how we're getting all of our likes right now, are grognards who are like, I like free stuff! And hopefully they listen to the podcast.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, Dan Delanois. Didn't mention him this podcast.
Actually, we did.
We did? Delanois.
Yeah, you said you saw him at the bunker. I mentioned Delanois.
Fuck him. I remember that now.
I think we should call this podcast Delanois Classy.
Delanois Classy. So anyway, go to the Game Classy Facebook page. Like the Game Classy Facebook page. 100 likes. We're giving away a free War Machine 2-player starter set. Once that happens, we're going to start another contest.
It may require shipping costs, depending on where you are.
Yeah, if you live in the Chicagoland area, we can arrange drop-off.
Yes.
If you live outside the Chicagoland area, which a couple of our fans do.
Dude in the Netherlands.
The dude in the Netherlands. We had a couple people who like us out on the East Coast, you know, throw some shout-outs to some of our fans who are on the Facebook page and vocal. One of the great things...
That one dude's got that badass Rackham blog.
Yeah, he does.
That blog's awesome.
That's a fantastic blog. I'm like...
I was looking at it, and I'm just like...
Under the Mountain.
Under the Mountain. Sweet blog. And I was looking at it, and I'm like, man, I really wish I would have gotten some more of these Rackham models. Because, like, I had the Goblins.
I have them all.
I had the Goblins, but I was like, man, that Cyclops is really cool.
I have the Cyclops of Midgar.
It's very cool. And, the thing is, I have... It's a double-edged sword for me, because, like, one, I'd be like, those models are really cool. On the other hand, I've got so many fucking miniatures that aren't painted now.
The difference between me and you is you live in an apartment, and that, who knows, and maybe in 6 or 7 months you might want to move to a different location. And so you don't want to grab all your stuff and have to move. Me, I bought a house. I'm going to be at this house for probably the next 10, 15 years. I don't have to worry about transporting stuff, so I can have a very large collection of stuff that I'm not painting, because maybe someday I'll be able to get to it.
Yeah, because the stuff I'm painting, I throw it in an army bag.
Yeah.
And then it sits in my closet in an army bag.
Yeah.
Which is great. Works perfectly, because if I need to use it for a game, because I use my miniatures for gaming, I don't display them.
Yeah.
Take them out. You know, I don't paint display quality, so I don't display them.
Yeah, so to our fan who... It's underthemountain.com, right?
I'm not sure. I know it's... I'm pretty sure if you point your search box to Under the Mountain.
And maybe, like, Rackham.
Or blog, you'll find it.
Yeah. I'm sorry to your name.
Richard? Rick?
I don't remember off the top. Because I don't have it, like, up in front of me right now.
I think it's Rich.
I think
Mike? It's not Mike.
Are you sure it's not Mike?
Maybe. I don't know. I have no idea. I specifically looked and I was like, remember his name? Because I think I'm going to talk about it. I was like, oh, forgot. Sorry, dude. Forgot.
Yeah. If you can go to it, if you're interested in Rackham, because, of course, the Phoenix Edition.
Well,
not at Gen Con.
How about the, the Empty Pockets Edition.
The Empty Pockets Edition?
Yeah, dude, those miniatures are retarded expensive.
Yeah.
That Hydra is like... $200. It's the size of a pack of cigarettes.
But those aren't designed for the Phoenix Edition. Those are just collector models. They're no one's gonna play them. Like what? And the box sets they put out. Yes, they're $80 bucks. You get 6 or 7 figures in there. $10 a model. It's high quality casts and everything like that. And I have been told from the people at Cool Mini or Not. When Phoenix Edition comes out, they're going to start putting out more models cheaper.
All right.
Maybe not super cheap, but, I mean, the models will probably be $7-$8 a piece, but they're not going to be like that.
There's actually another... I linked this one on the Facebook page, another Kickstarter. Redbox Games?
Yes, Redbox Games.
Very cool.
They caught their goal.
Oh, they got their goal already?
Yeah.
Awesome. There's still a lot more time to donate, so if you want to get some of their really sweet... They're kind of like...
His name is Mike.
Oh, yeah.
So you were wrong. It was Mike.
It was Mike? Damn. That was the one where I guessed at the very end. I was like, it's Mike. And I was like, no, it can't be that. It's Rick.
It's Rick. Hey, Rick.
So I had the name right, and I talked myself out of the correct name.
Yeah.
Brilliant. That Redbox Games, very cool-looking miniatures.
Yeah, they do have some nice stuff.
Their figures are great.
Very, very nice chaos-y stuff.
Yeah, and did you see they're on their on the website how many different figures they have?
Yeah, they have
dwarves.
Yeah,
they've got humans. They're very D&D.
Yeah, they're a D&D company.
Yeah, they're very D&D.
They're not a like substitute miniature company.
No, I mean, but they've got some squads or like
regiments, they got some stuff.
But they're not huge. Yeah. They're like six to ten guys. Which will, but they would work really well for like a skirmishing game or for D&D.
Yeah, D&D specifically. Yeah.
They, I mean, they look great. I love their some of their wizard models. There's some that they have some
wizards.
They have some of the best wizard miniatures, period, that I've ever seen.
Make sure we send them a message, say that we said this about them. Maybe they'll give us something.
You just want to get the free stuff.
I just want a free thing.
I don't need the free. I don't need the free stuff. I
need free stuff.
I will.
Should I pay for this?
I will gladly promote things that I think are
cool. Just because I think.
Just because I think.
Yeah, cool. I don't. I would never promote something that I don't like.
Yeah.
And I like 40K. Don't get me wrong. I don't think 40K is awful. I just don't play it. And to not talk about it on the podcast would just be stupid because everyone in the Chicagoland region plays 40K. Everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? There might be a place like in Topeka, Kansas where no one plays 40K. And I was like...
They're all playing Dark Age.
They're all playing Dark Age for some odd reason.
No, nothing odd. The game's great.
I haven't played it, so I
don't know. Oh, we should battle sometime. It's really... It's got the most interesting and fun terrain rules because I saw one of their boards. It's a blue board. It looks kind of like sky, and then everything is coming out of these like pegs, and they're these big stone pieces of like moats,
like floaty things.
Yeah, and it's the entire board is that. So like, there's so many rules because you have guys like jumping in between the rocks. You have dudes who can knock people down off of the cliffs, and it's really cool.
So anyway, this will go up. I'm actually last thing. We're going to be changing the date the game class is going out.
Oh,
it's no longer going to be on every other Wednesday. It's going to be on Mondays.
Ooh.
Yes. So
every other Monday or every Monday?
Every other Monday. No, I'm not to record this every Monday. Are you kidding me? Fuck that.
You know what we should do? We should preload the podcast at one point and just record it like 5 days in a row and then just have just months of podcasts.
And just be towards the end, it'll just be us going like, yeah. So, yeah.
Legend I'm going to get a piece of fruit.
L5R. You ever play Clan War?
Oh, and there's the dudes on DECA who do not like our tagline. And I think I've come up with a new one that I like.
What's that?
I'm replacing the normal tagline.
Oh, that's right, because I came up with mine, which is re-roll that cock dice, you fat motherfucker.
Which is funny. I'm going to see. I mean,
we'll sit there. Yeah. So this is going to come out on Mondays from now on, and it's going to come out every other Monday. And that's just because I feel like we're putting it out on Wednesday. Most people don't realize that it's even out till Thursday, and then by the time that happens, you know, it's the weekend, so I want to give more people more time to listen to it during the week. So there's that. And also... we're going to be at Games Day. Chicago Games Day, both me and
you. We are
going to
be at Games Day.
I'm going to be putting stuff up for Golden Demon. Steve's probably going to be doing the art contest where you can color in pictures of Space Marines.
I drew a squig last year.
You did draw a squig.
I was like, ah, squig.
I think I drew a great sword.
Yeah, a great sword.
A great sword.
Yeah.
So we'll be there. You'll see us. I'll probably have a Planet Arbitrary shirt on. Steve will probably have some sort of gaming shirt. Because I think that's all he owns.
No, I have tons of... I have a Drive shirt. I've got the Cthulhu Hot Rodder, like Ratfink style. Oh, I've got lots of shirts that aren't games. I have plenty of shirts that aren't games.
Exactly. So you'll see us there. You know, say hi if you like the podcast.
Or say, fuck you guys. We hate
you guys.
You, this is your chance to say fuck us in person.
Yes, and also if you see us, Steve is
I'm 7 feet tall.
He's about a fat guy with beard and glasses, and then you can see me, and I'm a fat guy with beard and glasses.
Well, yeah.
So you could easily pick us out of the crowd of all the GW players. Easily.
And we'll probably be wearing black shirts.
No doubt
we will be able to be pointed out. Out of the crowd.
All right. So anyway, so until next time,
stay classy, stay decadent.
It's so goddamn.